Consistently offered up her mother's commentary. It was because Cleo missed her so much, of course. Julia had dazzled. Clever, witty, beautiful, erratic, but always entertaining.
"I'll wear an ordinary gown to meet him tonight," Cleo promised. "He and I have exchanged several letters. I warned the Viscount that I have no wish to marry and that I plan to be a wallflower when I join him at society events. He indicated that he will happily sit with me at the side of the room." From what Cleo had gleaned through their correspondence, her grandfather, Viscount Falconer, was lonely and desperately sad about Julia's death. Unfortunately, his daughter hadn't bothered to stay in touch with her family after she married. And then it was suddenly too late. Julia had died without even knowing that her mother had passed away a few years ago. One of Julia's last wishes had been that her parents would launch their granddaughter into society, a prospect that Cleo did not find exciting. She would prefer to spend her time expanding Louis Commodes into one of the most powerful business concerns in Europe, as well as learning French, improving her vocabulary, and visiting Paris once Napoleon was evicted. The prospect of joining the Viscount for the season didn't make her nervous. Julia might have been a free spirit, but she periodically recalled that she was the daughter of a Viscount. Cleo had mastered ladylike comportment by the age of 10. Yet even at that age, Cleo had preferred to shadow her father in his office rather than practice quadrilles, with a dance master imported from London to Manchester at huge expense. A yawning feeling of boredom loomed at the very thought of accompanying her grandfather to one ball, let alone night after night of them. Gussie was entertaining no such foibles.
"You can try to be a wallflower,"
she started to fit the cap over the hair coiled at Cleo's neck.
"It'll never work. It'll be like when I played the flower seller in My Fairest Lady. You'll walk into a ballroom. There across the room, you'll see a tall man with piercing eyes."
"I'll promptly look the other way,"
Cleo interrupted.
"Don't forget that Reggie Bottleneck played the hero, Gussie. And he got two women with child, though the production only had a 4-month run."
Gussie grimaced.
"Not his piercing eyes. Better ones. I know too much about men,"
Cleo told her.
"I don't need one of them getting in my way, not to mention claiming my fortune. Just look at all the men who mother... well, with whom she was acquainted.
Not to mention that rat she'd been betrothed to."
"May heaven rest her, your mother had a tender heart for a leading man."
"Drat it,"
Gussie muttered, as the turban dislodged a couple of hairpins and Cleo's curls sprang free. A soft heart was a tactful description. Julia rarely met a handsome actor whom she didn't instantly adore and invite to her bed, both during her marriage and after her husband's passing. Cleo had decided early in life that nurturing illusions about her mother would be disastrous. Her level-headedness was precisely why her father had left his fortune to his 14-year-old daughter rather than to his wife. On occasion, Cleo had made use of it by paying off a particularly fervent lover who wouldn't accept that Julia had lost interest in him. Cleo's opinion of the male sex had fallen lower and lower as actor after actor strode through her mother's bedchamber door.
"I'm not tender-hearted, like my mother," she said flatly. I'm inimical to men."
"Word of the day?"
Gussie asked.
"I'm thinking inimical means you don't like men, which, begging your pardon, miss, we both know isn't true. You were betrothed to Foster Beecham only a year ago."
"Briefly,"
Cleo stated.
"You can't let one broken engagement sour you on the pack of them."
"I shan't. I would simply prefer to cater to my own interests rather than someone else's. Still, Lord Falconer is my only relative, and I shall enjoy spending time with him. Which reminds me that I meant to send a note asking him to recommend a modiste. I need everything from gowns to parasols in wallflower mode, if you see what I mean. Your mother hated drab clothing."
Gussie paused.
"Heaven rest her."
"You needn't say that quite so often,"
Cleo said.
"Mrs. Lewis wasn't restful, was she? I hope that she's at peace now. Mother's version of heaven likely includes a great many handsome actors and as many romantic plays as anyone can watch."
"That's right,"
Julia murmured with a naughty chuckle.
Half morning suits my mood.